Kind of amazing not to see the rain word in the forecast. Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, feels the same. Good morning there, Sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, sunshine in the forecast.
Sunshine and warm temperatures and wind not out of the east.
Well, did Saturday feel like this benediction somehow? You just wanted to sit outside and I suppose a lot of people, you know, wanted to run and bike and hike and do whatever, and I just wanted to sit really, really still and not scare it away.
Yes, I was frolicking, skipping about.
There's a visual.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a visual. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what do we get to do? Well, of course, we can mow, because when the sun comes out on Wednesday, when you look at your grass on Wednesday morning, by the time you get home on Wednesday evening, it will have grown about a foot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, you know, with those warm temps and as much moisture as we've had, lawns and even, really pretty much all of our plantings, you're probably over the next week or so going to notice significant growth on a lot of them, whether lilacs coming into bloom, crab apples coming into bloom, everything else leafing out, our azaleas and rhododendrons are in bloom. And it, you know, it really just gets going from there and just keeps on throughout the season. So, but what I wanted to talk a little bit about today is, you know, there's been a lot of conversation, and of course there were some classes this spring on creating bee-friendly gardens, right?
Yep.
Extension Service, St. Louis County Extension Service, had a couple of classes on it and well attended. I think the one that I was at had about 100 people at it. So there's a lot of concern about bee-friendly gardens and worries about our pollinators. And rightfully so, you know, what pollinators do for us as humans is rather significant. A lot of the food that we consume has been touched by a pollinator, whether it's fruit trees or our grain crops or many, many things, nuts and so on. So anyway, as we're thinking about what we as the homeowner in northeastern Minnesota, northwestern Wisconsin can do, and wondering, you know, on this big picture, what can we do to really help? And it's really quite simple, and it's really doing things in your own yard that create an environment that's more friendly for bees or butterflies or pollinators, and doing things with plants that attract those insects or birds to your landscape and create a place that isn't going to be hurtful or damaging to them. So as folks are, and as you led off with what we can we be doing for planning, right now is that time when we can be thinking about, you know, the garden centers or greenhouses are open and things are going on at them. And when you're going or making those choices for the places you're going to go to, look for ones that that are neonicotinoid-free. And neonics, a lot of publicity on that class of pesticides has been going on, and it has a major impact, that class does, on bees. So we want to look for plants that are neonic-free.
Even if it isn't a plant, for example, that you're planting to draw bees, you just want to try to avoid anything with that chemical on it at all.
Yes. Well, and also selecting plants that draw bees or pollinators to your landscape, and really plants that have different bloom periods. So things that are in bloom now for those early season bees, things that are in bloom in the middle of the season for the mid-season and late into the fall for those fall bees as they're getting ready to hibernate. So
okay, here's today's foolish question. If you are not really familiar or you don't have a master gardener to hand that you can ask this question of, is there, I suppose you could go online and Google it maybe, how do you figure out, okay, this will bloom in June, and then this blooms later in June, and then this blooms in July, and then this blooms in August? I mean, How do you have to go to an expert and say, hey, I want to get like six different kinds of plants that'll be blooming all the way through the end of the season?
Yeah, and that's helpful when you're visiting the greenhouses or garden centers, asking people there that work that, you know, if they have, first of all, if they're using neonicotinoids first, and then secondly, once they've assured you that they're not, and then you can start asking those questions, what kinds of things can I plant to help pollinators? And most of them will have either a list or take you around and show you some plants, whether they're annuals that are blooming throughout the season or perennials that have different bloom times. But most of those greenhouses or garden centers will have people that can kind of show you around and say, here's a great one for bees late in the season, or hummingbirds love this one, or, you know, or whatever it happens to be.
Well, I got to say, we've all had the experience where we've gone to a place and we've asked the nice young person and they go, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I'm just saying, you can try to find an expert where you go, but you may want to kind of keep in mind, if you've got that kind of question, you may think, I got to go someplace where someone will know the answer to my question.
Yeah.
Or help me find it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because we not only are we able to create beauty in our yard with a lot of plants that you can get just about any greenhouse or garden center, but also that they have a secondary purpose, and that's to help wildlife or pollinators around us or whatever it happens to be, that so it has a positive impact not only for us visually, but for those things that need that. So asking those questions, neonicotinoid-free, and then things that you can plant in your garden or in your containers. And it doesn't have to be a whole yard full of plants. It could be just a couple of containers on a patio or by a front door or in the backyard, something like that. So you don't have to go to the greenhouse and tell them you want one of everything. It might just be six plants or eight plants, but certainly every little bit that we as gardeners and folks who are concerned about that population, everything that we can do is a benefit. So
fantastic. Hey, TK, you got to get going. You've got neonicotinoids to root out, and you have bee-friendly plants to get in the ground. So you take off, and get everything together for tomorrow when the sun comes out.
Yay! You have yourself a good day.
I will. Just looking forward to tomorrow.
All right.
Tom Casper is a master gardener, the past president of the Duluth Garden Flower Society, and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Every other Tuesday here on KUMD.